Well, good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Janice P.M. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today the date is Thursday. It's August the 17th, 2023. This is the 10 a.m. meeting. And today we're going to be reading from the Big Book. And we are at page 100, paragraph 4, that begins with, assuming we are spiritually fit, we're going to read one paragraph to the ending, which states, our experience shows that this is not necessarily so. Okay, so our readers this morning are, for the 12 steps, Laura W., for the 12 traditions, Kathy B., and our text, Our readers are Jody E., 164, page 164, is Sherry Z., and Vanita C. Now, the reference in our newcomer greeter is Kathleen W., and announcements will be Leslie M. So, I have two reference numbers for the previous day for you, and that is Wednesday, August the 16th, 2023, the 10 a.m., Eastern Time meeting is 20,546, and that's 20546. And for today, this morning's meeting, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting for Thursday, August the 17th, 2023, is 20,548. That's 20548. Now, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position or we take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, quote, each group has but one primary purpose, and that's to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Now, at a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Well, here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. So now I will ask kindly Laura W. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning. It's Laura W. from Ohio, gratefully recovered. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Step 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Step 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Step 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Step 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Step 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 11, thought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service.
And thank you, Laura W. Now I will kindly ask Kathy B. to please read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning. I'm Kathy B. from Oklahoma, a recovered compulsive overeater. These are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever, not professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all the traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service this morning. I pass.
And thank you once more, Kathy B., for reading our 12 traditions of OA. This is how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Now, anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Now, our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. Now, in order to share, press star 1 to unmute. And once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 again to mute your phone. To have a nice quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. So today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 100, paragraph 4. And I will now ask Jody E. to please begin reading.
Good morning, Janice. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. My name is Jody E., and I am a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in California. Assuming we are spiritually fit, we can do all sorts of things alcoholics are not supposed to do. People have said we mustn't go where liquor is served. We must not have it in our homes. We must shun friends who drink. We must avoid moving pictures which show drinking scenes. We must not go into bars. Our friends must hide their bottles if we go to their houses. We mustn't think or be reminded about alcohol at all. Our experience shows that this is not necessarily so. So, yes, assuming we are spiritually fit, we can do all sorts of things alcoholics are not supposed to do. I love this sentence and this paragraph because it spells it out. I have to be spiritually fit in order to be safe from my alcoholic foods, which are all over the place. We as compulsive overeaters know that. There's no way that we can be shielded from sugar, flour, whatever our particular alcoholic foods are. They're everywhere. They're in everything. So what I have to do is I have to be abstinent, first of all. I have to get those substances out of my system so that I have a clear mind. And then I need to work the steps, all of them. And I need to live in steps 1, 2, 3, 10, 11, and 12 every day to stay in fit spiritual condition. So if you're new and you have not yet recovered, trust me, trust us, that working the steps abstinently will get you there. It will get you into fit spiritual condition. Where many of us fail, though, is that we don't stay in fit spiritual condition. We rest on our laurels and we stop working steps 1, 2, 3, 10, 11, and 12 every single day until we are convinced that that's necessary. It is necessary for me. That is my experience. And the good news is that it works when I do it. And it's a way of life that is incredibly more satisfying and joyful than my previous life in the food or trying to white knuckle it. That doesn't work either. I get to experience all the promises of this program, which are tremendous, when I work these steps every day. So yay, there is a solution, thank God. And all it takes is working the steps. And with that, I'll pass.
And thank you so much, Jody E. Now, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So I'm going to take names at this time, slow for my ears, and you can give me your first initial to your last name. And when you share, you can give me your state. So who would like to step up first?
Nicole R.
Nicole R. Nicely. Thank you.
Freya H.
Freya.
Diane.
Freya H., right?
Sherry H.
Linda W., Las Vegas.
Oh, wait a minute, Sherry Z., I guess. And who was W.?
Linda.
Oh, Linda W., okay. And I heard a gentleman, did I not?
Ian F.?
Ian, okay. Ian F. Yeah. Okay, let's take that group. That's a wonderful
Sherry
group.
Sherry M.?
Did I get you Sherry Z., or is it another Sherry?
Sherry M., thank you so much.
Oh, okay. All right, I'll call on Sherry M. Is there
two
a Sherry Z?
Sherry Z and Sherry M. There's two different.
Okay, there are. Thank you for straightening that out for me. Okay, I think you were for Sherry Z and Sherry Z. All right, please go ahead, Nicole R.
Thank you. I'm Nicole R., gratefully recovered in California. Mm-hmm. So assuming we are spiritually fit means not you know, in step one. That means, you know, we have a hospitalization period while we're working the steps where it might not be safe to go into these types of situations, right? And then it says, you know, it follows by saying that we're not supposed to do. We can do all sorts of things that alcoholics are not supposed to do. So that's telling us it's against the odds. That's one of the miracles. It's a miracle. It's not obvious. And then it goes on to say, you know, first off, it describes all of these situations that that might be difficult for an alcoholic or a compulsive overeater, and then it says, and we must not think. I mean, we mustn't think or be reminded of alcohol at all. And I'm glad it says that because, you know, part of the promises is, you know, freedom from that obsession. And so if we think about alcohol, we don't have to, or sorry, if we think about food, we don't have to worry like, oh, that means I'm not recovered anymore. Because thoughts, you know, I'm pretty, like, I can't always control my thoughts. But since I'm living in step 11, I can practice, you know, a form of meditation where a thought comes, maybe a thought comes about food or eating, and I let it go and turn it to God instead of obsessing on that thought and then, you know, compulsively acting on it. So, so yeah, I'm glad that there is that distinction. And then, you know, this program is about freedom. It's not about being trapped, and not being able to, you know, go outside of our homes and, or, you know, even, you know, our room or in a bubble or anything. It's about freedom. So we're, you know, I'm really grateful that I get that freedom today. And then one more thing I wanted to mention is, you know, it says all of these, it spells out some of these situations that might be dangerous, but it says, but we're free. We can, you know, but we can do this after all. But I think it is good to have vigilance and still accept that these situations could be dangerous, could be triggering. And since I'm living in step 10, and step 10 is about vigilance and staying on guard and not, you know, thinking that, oh, I'm finished, I don't have to do anything anymore, I'm recovered. It's still important to be vigilant and accept that these situations could be, you know, triggering. So what am I going to do to make sure that I continue to have a strong program? Thank you so much. And I'm really grateful for my sponsees, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much. That was Nicole R. from California. Now we have Freya H. Good morning, Freya.
Good morning, Janice. This is Freya H. I am a recovered compulsive eater, bulimic restrictor, and I am in Colorado. Thank you so much for your service. This page, like these next few paragraphs, is one of my favorite sections in this entire book because it spells it out so clearly what this is and what it is not. It is not, you know, it's not a diet plan. It's not, I don't even know how to describe it. It's not tips and tricks. It's not ways to get through, you know, like white knuckling. This is an internal transformation that results in me responding differently to the world. So all the things that they have listed in this paragraph, I find it really helpful to change the words to fit my particular disease. So, you know, whatever the triggers with food happen to be for me, to put those words in for me. And then I can read it like a promise, you know, it's saying that this is, I can live with all those triggers and I'm going to have a different response. They are no longer going to be triggers. I think it's in A Vision for You where it talks about, you know, he's like a man whistling in the dark, wishing, you know, that he could get away with, you know, having a few drinks. And when we are asked to put down the food and really facing putting down the food like long term, it's like we're being asked to give up what's gotten us through to give up our best friend. And that can be incredibly difficult to even like envision what is my life gonna be like without this? Like, how could I possibly survive without this? And so this section of the book is telling us you're going to be in a different place. You're going to be on different footing, that you aren't going to need this stuff. And like the previous share, I love that it's about freedom. You know, I can name so many examples in my life where I get to show up and be present. I recently was at a party and it happened to be at a neighbor's house, so I could just walk across the street. But, you know, I brought a dish to share, but I didn't eat a thing at the party. And when it was time to eat, I was able to just go back home and eat my food and without saying a word to anybody. Like, that to me is just so much freedom that my food has no drama around it, and I have no desire to go off my plan. You know, like, it's, I don't even want to try to figure out, like, oh, maybe I could eat some of that, or maybe I could eat some of that, because the peace that I get from just, like, you know, I know what I'm eating, I really enjoy what I'm eating, is so much preferable. So anyway, with that, the last thing is that word, the last sentence, this is not necessarily so, which is an indicator that there's more information coming. Like, okay, so you to tell you a little bit more about how this is, how we know we are in that spiritually fit place. So thank you for the opportunity to share. I'm going to pass.
Yeah, Freya, where are you from?
I am from Colorado.
Colorado. Okay, thank you much, Freya. Okay, now we're going to hear from Sherry Z. Please, Sherry.
Good morning, visionary. Good morning, Sherry Z, recovered in California. It's so nice to be on a meeting this morning live. So I believed that to be safe in the world, I couldn't go to places where there was any of my trigger foods. There was someone that came to our home, and I even told my parents she couldn't be in our home because she was struggling with bulimia. I had so much thoughts about recovery, and this was when I was in OA. I thought I had to control every situation, so which restaurant we went to, what could be stored in the refrigerator, where, what we could eat and what we couldn't eat. And it was not a recovery. It was not a recovery that people wanted to emulate, because I was just trying to control, because that's what I thought I needed to be safe. And when it comes from God.
I think we're losing you a little bit, Sherry Z.
Oh, hold on.
You seem a little muffled. No, hello?
Does that help? Is that better?
Yeah, much better.
Is it better? Oh, shoot.
Now we don't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, I can hear you very well. I do, yes.
Oh, sorry. So I'm not sure where I lost you, but in essence, I thought to be safe. Thanks. And to be safe is to be in alignment with God. And that comes from a daily spiritual fitness. And it's easy for me to rest on my laurels. It's easy for me to put my kids and my husband and work and everything else ahead of the steps. And that's where the assumption cannot be an assumption. But the truth is that my safety and thus my freedom comes from God and God alone, which took me 30 plus years. So if you're struggling to the newcomers, please stay the course, because safety can truly come from God.
Do you pass?
Oh, I passed. Sorry.
Yes.
I thought I was
okay. That's all right. Thank you. No, you had a little bit more. All right. Now we're going to hear from Linda W. and then Eon F. Linda W.
Hi, this is Linda W. from Las Vegas. Everybody said your shares are fantastic. It's everything I would have said. Basically, realizing being spiritually fit, you know, and not, this is not a diet, is a big difference. And without that, I can't stay abstinent. It's, to me, it is about mindset. I have to readjust my mind and my thoughts. And really with this, I'll pass. Everybody said everything I would say. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Linda W. Okay, we're going to go to Eon. It's going to be next, and then after Eon will be Sherry M. Okay, Eon, please go ahead. Tell me where you're from.
Hey, this is Eon F., compulsive overeater, calling out of Kentucky. Grateful to be here. yeah, I was when I was in early recovery, I was working at Starbucks, and I was terrified because I wasn't spiritually fit yet, and like being around serving people things that were trigger foods for me was like really scary. And I remember having a conversation with my sponsor very early on about this paragraph in particular. Am I ever going to be able to live around and with other people in normal settings? And the answer was, of course, yes. And I had just not at that point been spiritually fit. You know, fast forward, having worked the steps, it's funny how these things don't occur to you anymore. Like I go to bars and go to clubs and go to restaurants and go on dinner dates and do all these things around other people. And, you know, I have food neutrality. It's when they talk about spiritual fitness, somebody mentioned working the steps every day. I mean, like that's what that is. And spiritual fitness to me, you know, when I'm in these situations, it's that my mind is not thinking about, am I going to be abstinent? Am I going to be abstinent? Am I going to be able to get through this? My mind's on, oh, I'm with these people. I'm doing this thing, you know. And that's something that I get to check. I learned really early on, like, if I have an event that I'm wanting to go to, whether it's at a restaurant or a bar or whatever, if I'm thinking about, well, am I going to be abstinent if I don't really trust that I'm going to be, then there's some spiritual gunk that I have not cleaned out that I need to address. But what it, you know, it says, assuming that we're spiritually fit, I can go anywhere and do anything because I took steps 2 and 3. God has me. You know, unconditionally, God has me. That's never something that I have to question, you know. And if I feel uncertain about it, not the end of the world. It means I need to look at something. But, you know, I live with people who eat sugar and flour. All of my friends eat sugar and flour. My partner eats sugar and flour. Not a thing. Never has been. That's all I've got. Love you guys. Okay.
Oh, thank you so much, Eon F., and he's from Kentucky. Okay, Sherry M., it's your turn.
Hi, I'm Sherry M., and I am gratefully living in a free state today from this seemingly hopeless disease. And I am in Wyoming, if you want to find me on the phone list. And I just love what everyone has said, and I'm saying ditto, ditto, ditto. And I think the thing that they're trying to get at, and, you know, a lot of people refer to the doctor's opinion and say that, you know, compulsive overeaters need to be in the hospital state and really shield themselves and protect themselves and, you know, cancel all plans and all of this kind of stuff. And, you know, I think that there's some helpfulness to that, but I also feel like there's no God in that. And I think that God wants me, I'll just speak for me, and maybe sponsees that I'm working with. He wants, you know, wants us to be honest with our motives. You know, like if there's an event somewhere, why am I going? Am I going there to steal, you know, like live vicariously through people while they're eating? Or is it, am I really on, you know, solid ground before I go? And if not, then I don't go. But I think each and every situation is unique and different. And I have worked with many sponsees who already had business trips planned. And, they, you know, it's not realistic to have everyone cancel all their plans. In fact, it's really acting selfishly again in the disease. But there is a plan that we can put into place with God. Like, okay, look up all of the, you know, the the menus before you go and pray and continue being invested in your step work. And these things will keep us safe and protected. So I think that there's a time and place. You know, I recently just got an email asking from a new neighbor if I want to go to a winery, a dinner at a winery and do wine tasting. Well, you know, no. So I can tell her I don't drink wine, so that's wasted on me. And also, I have food allergies. So the whole thing is just I'm not going to spend money for that and letting people know who I am and what I can do. But I can do so many other things with people besides drink wine and eat food, right? We can go hiking. I can connect with them on different ways or, you know. So I think it just depends case by case. And the most important thing is for anybody who's new to work with a sponsor, and you guys can work that out between you and your sponsor and God. And some people can go on to bake and get recovered, and some people can't. And it's just, it's really, what was your problem with eating? And then, you know, every program, and I'll just wrap up with this, like everyone's program is individually based, because this is a big, wide spectrum disorder of compulsive overeating, restricting, bulimia. There's so much in there, such a gray area. And the best thing is, again, just to turn everything over to our higher powers and ask for help. So thank you so much, and I hope everyone has a blessed day, and thanks for letting me share.
And thank you, Sherry M. from Wyoming. Okay, just a gentle reminder for people that perhaps came in a little bit late, we're on page 100. We're discussing paragraph 4, beginning with assuming we are spiritually fit, just reading one paragraph, ending in our experience shows that this is not necessarily so. So now I'm ready for another group of names. Who would like to be next?
Hi,
Diane Y. Colsey.
Oh,
Laura W. with a share.
Southern California.
Betty G. from Nevada.
Nicole C.
Oh, hold on, please. All right, I heard Larry. I'm lucky I got the first name. Laurie D. Then I
Letty
heard somebody.
G.
Letty?
Letty T. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Letty T. All right, and next would be, I don't know.
Agnes.
Go ahead. Who?
Agnes
K. Hi, Dean. Esther, how about
let me get Esther what, J?
Agnes A.
Oh, goodness. See what I mean? Agnes. Okay. Agnes what? What's your first letter, your last name?
A as in apple.
Agnes A. Okay. Thank you. Next.
Joan Marie.
Laura W.
Joan. I heard Joan Marie. First initial.
Diane Y. from Texas.
Joan Marie M.
Okay, and I had just heard clearly Diane.
Diane
W.
Diane, somebody from Texas. Diane.
Y. Diane Y.
Okay, and then we can go on. Go ahead.
Hi,
Nicole
Laura
C.
W.
Oh, let's do Nicole, and then we'll stop at the next one. Nicole, what? What's your initial?
C, as in cat.
Oh, I got it, Nicole. And the last one, just at this group only. Don't go away.
Hiya P in Colorado.
Hiya?
Yep, Colorado.
Hiya, Colorado. You'll have to spell that name after for me. Okay, let's do Letty T. Is that correct?
Letty G. Letty G from Nevada.
Okay, is that D as in dog or doll?
It's a G as in good.
Oh, okay, from Nevada, that's what I heard. All right, go ahead, Letty G.
Thank you. Yeah, this is Letty G from Nevada. Yeah, when I came to the program, I pretty much surrendered. I had given up, two hands up. I came on my knees. I had lost the right to make any choices, but I was probably after step three. During step three, I had been offered a beautiful trip to Europe, and I consulted my God and my people here in the Scottsdale meeting, and they suggested I wait and not go on any trips because it would have been very hard for me. And I'm so grateful because I now can make that trip. But I, at the time, I, as much as I had felt I had surrendered, I would have probably been in a place where it would have been very, very difficult for me to resist the temptations of the world and the food. So I'm very, very happy to be here, and I'm very happy that I was able to speak today. Thank you for your service, and have everybody have a beautiful, blessed day. And I pass.
And thank you so much, Letty G. from Nevada, and all of you who are being very patient with my ears. Okay, we're going to go to Agnes A. next.
Hi, thank you for your service and for all the pitches this morning. I kind of got from this that when we are spiritually fit, which is when I am in tune, aligned with God on a daily basis, when I'm doing all the stuff, like working the steps, like literature, like having a sponsor, like sponsoring, like making outreach calls, all those things keep my channel to God, to my strength, to my higher power, you know, very fit, very, very strong. And that's where my power to deal with these realities of life come into play. So yes, they are related. When I'm spiritually fit and working a strong program, then food no longer becomes my problem because God has got my back. Otherwise, how would I be able to go into the grocery store and stick to the aisles that have the healthy stuff? I have to go through the quote-unquote bad stuff. And I still remember to say a quick prayer before I go down the bread aisle, right? Because that's where the salad dressing is sometimes. And say, God, hey, you got my back, you know, so help me navigate this place. That's the only thought I have, and that works. You know, the stronger I am in the program, the more time I have, the more these don't become an issue. I worked in a school, and every day that ended on day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, was a potluck day. You know, you'd come to school and there's food everywhere and you're not prepared. So those are things that tell me that God's got my back. I can buy stuff for my kids, my daughter who is on a hike, that I don't have. It's not part of my, you know, processed sugar, bread and crackers type thing. And it's in the car and I'm going to send it to her and it does not threaten me anymore. So God does for me what I can't do for myself. I can go to those places and just pass. I just went to a wedding and the cake wasn't a problem. I just said pass. So in conclusion, there are things that I have to do. I have the luxury of living alone. And so I don't stock bad food in the house, right? Because at some point, who knows, I might be at the low point and then they'll look good from the freezer. So I still do those things. I don't keep stuff that would normally tempt me, but I also go to anywhere that there is food. But all it takes is a quick prayer sometimes. And even when I don't remember to say the prayer, God keeps doing for me with food what I can do for myself. So with that, I pass. Thank you for
Agnes.
Letting me.
Yeah. Agnes, where are you from?
California, Pacific Coast.
Okay. Yes, thank you so much. Okay,
thank
now
you.
We're going to go to Joan Marie M. It's your turn.
Hi, this is Joan Marie M. from Nevada. Can you hear me?
I sure can. Go ahead.
Great, thank you. I don't know how much more I can share what hasn't been said already. But it's such a powerful paragraph to me that I just have to share, and I knew I was going to share today. So, you know, I have total and complete freedom from the bondage to food. Thank you, God, by His mercy and His grace, by doing all the things that I needed to do in the first place to get here. Before I came back, I could not stop. But then I got on my knees in my heart, and I surrendered my alcoholic foods. Now I can go to restaurants. I can be around people in small areas where they're eating all the things that I know. If I eat them, I cannot stop. That insanity has been taken from me. I thank you, God. I have to continue, like I said, to keep on doing what I did. Told me she had non-negotiable things to do. I agreed. And then we worked those steps. And now to stay in the steps, I sponsor others. And that keeps me spiritually fit. I do my prayer meditation in the morning. I do my outreach calls. I do text my food in. All those things are keeping me in a spiritually fit condition. And so with that, I'm grateful to all of you. All the beautiful shares I got so much from. Okay, have a blessed day. I'm signing off for now.
And thank you. That was Joan Marie M. from Nevada. Okay, we have Diane Y. now from Texas.
Good morning. This is Diane Y., compulsive overeater, very grateful compulsive overeater from Texas. Thank you, everybody, for your service. I was reviewing the big book this morning, and when I was looking at this passage, spiritually fit, assuming we are spiritually fit, we can do all sorts of things. God can help us to do all sorts of things. And this program taught me how to think out of the box, how to think out of the box of cookies, how to think out of the box of all of the trigger foods that I used to think in all the time. I had a very small world. And the result of these steps opened up my world to a world of possibilities I never even imagined. To have food neutrality is based on a spiritual remedy. The book tells us this is a spiritual remedy. It also tells us that unless we continue to perfect and expand our spiritual contact with God and our service to others, I'm going to go back. It also tells me that my real purpose is to fit myself, to be of maximum service to God and others, maximum service. It means it's inexhaustible, the limits. There are no limits to how far I need to go to work these steps to serve God and others, and to have experiences. It's a big world out there for me because of these steps. God makes this all possible. How can this be? You know, I was running on Saturday and I had a goal and I felt like I couldn't make it. And I tapped into my higher power and I was able to make that goal, you know, of 5 miles. How can that be? You know, I'm so grateful. This program taught me. I never used to understand this, but in I used to always hear compulsive overeaters say, I'm so grateful for this disease. And I'm like, really? How can you say that? How can you be grateful for this disease? I'm not. But today I can stand here and say, I'm grateful for the disease of compulsive overeating. Because of it, I found my higher power and I found a way of life that teaches me to think out of the box. And I'm going to leave you with that. I wish you all a beautiful day. Thank you.
And back to you, Diane Y. from Texas. Okay, Nicole C., you're next. Did I get that, Nicole C.?
Hi. I am here. Sorry, I was just unmuting. This is Nicole C. in Washington State, grateful member of this fellowship. And thank you to everyone doing service. I don't share that often. I love to listen. I hear so many, all of the things I need to hear on this meeting. But I wanted to share this morning because I mean, my mind is blown by recovery in so many ways and all of the time. But the first time that I traveled to visit my family, and I jokingly and seriously, to those of you who know, say that my family's house is a crack den for a flour and sugar addict. It is. It's insane how much there is there. And the first time that I traveled there in recovery and was completely relieved of the obsession and able to be around all of the foods that I had once worshipped at the altar of, because now I had a higher power. And for me, being spiritually fit is very simply being in conscious contact. And yes, it requires all of the daily stuff. And some days it requires more. And then there's also, I also have those moments where, because I'm not in control of that first thought. And I can remember this one time visiting family and friends when I was there for a month, and it was everybody's birthday, and it was just funfetti cake after funfetti cake. I didn't even notice them. At the end of the month, I was like, I don't even remember seeing those cakes. And it was that blew my mind. And then there was also an incident where I was out with girlfriends and I started to feel old fear. It just sort of came out of nowhere. And I felt myself becoming obsessed with a food that someone else had ordered that was sitting on the table. And in that moment, and I don't know that if I wasn't already doing all of the things that I would have had this ability to pause, but in that moment, I was able to simply pause and ask my higher power to please relieve me of my obsession and please let me be present with these people, because what I deeply desire more than anything else is that connection. I want the connection with ease more than I want the food. And the next thing I knew, that food was gone. Like I just didn't even notice it again. So spiritual fitness is doing all of this. Thank you. It's doing all of the stuff, and it is also being willing to connect in the moment. And with that, I'll cast. Thank you so much.
And where are you from, Nicole C?
I am in Washington State.
Okay. Thank you so much. Okay. Let's see. We just have about a minute or so with some. I don't know how to pronounce your name, from Colorado. Hiya. Is that it?
You did great. That's it. It's Hiya.
I'm sorry. Yeah, just about a minute, please. Yep.
Okay, that's
thank
fine.
You.
It's spelled
Thank you.
No problem. Hi, everybody. My name is Hiya P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater, bulimic, and restrictor from Colorado. Great shares. Just want to share a beautiful thing that I heard from my sponsor, which is, you know, there's a saying in OA that goes around. It's not from the book. It's just people kind of say this, which it's not true in my experience. You know, they'll say we have to take the tiger out of the cage 3 times a day. And what she said is, you know, OA, the 12 steps do not give me a stronger cage. What they do is they turn that tiger into a kitty cat. That is what happens through the process of the steps. And I have found, by the way, if anybody is a little turned off by the whole God thing, I get it. And that was something that kept me from coming. But eventually I was able to find what works for me. And that's all. Thanks.
And thank you so much, Hiya, from Colorado. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164. Followed by the Serenity Prayer. So will Sherry Z, please read. Our book is meant to be suggestive only and keep you until then.
Thank you. I'm Sherry Z, recovered in California, and this is page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.